You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
Get the electronic buzzers strapped on for a big show.
I got mine on underneath my shirt.
I love that Carlo Koliakovo is in here from First Up, because we may try this at some point this afternoon. Al's brother is going to have to go on a mission, probably over to Scarborough Town. We need to find electronic buzzers that we can strap on our chest.
And when he buzzes us and says, come out with a hot take.
Whenever we say something stupid, Al's brother or the grappler or Mullen
electrocutes us.
Basically send us into shock. Us. That's what we need. Because
you said something yesterday and I didn't agree with it. Like, take away the World Series, or I don't even know how you do that. And I was like, you can't do that. But today I'm like, you got to do something. You got, like...
Well, here's what I said yesterday was, it's almost irrelevant if you do or you don't, because the 2017 Houston Astros World Series, it is tarnished. It has been 100%. Tarnished. It is officially an asterisk beside it for the rest of time. And likely the 2018 World Series as well with the Red Sox, but much more with Houston. So it doesn't really matter if you make some gesture like we're rescinding it, because what are you going to do? Give it to the LA Dodgers? The Dodgers aren't going to hold a parade and say we're the winners.
No, they're not.
So ultimately it doesn't really matter what you do, because people have made the determination inside the game, outside the game, that is tarnished in 2017. But now we got some stuff cooking that is at a James Bond level of deception.
The person in the outfield sending buzzers, like, that's what I want to know.
So this is how ridiculous the whole story is and where it's going. Allegedly, a niece of Carlos Beltran, who stepped down today with the New York Mets without ever managing a game.
It's not funny, but, like, have you ever seen anything like that in your life? Never managed one game. He stepped down.
Does he count as a manager?
No.
Right? Like, does it count?
No, it doesn't. And I was listening to David Sampson's interview with Cause on the way in, and he was saying that when Beltran got traded to the Yankees, they didn't care about his bat. They wanted his expertise for stealing signs.
Right. Well, that's why the Yankees got to be careful.
Oh, big time.
Old
they
CC
don't want
Sabathia,
to sniff anywhere around this.
Just shut your yap. If you're any team in baseball, you need to shut up, because there's a lot of people popping off. Trevor Bauer. Obviously, Mike Fiers originally said what he said, and that got the ball rolling.
This is sewer ball baseball right now.
Everyone is like, look at this, look at that. And I understand why everyone's hating on Houston, because all the attention's on Houston. But I'm not convinced that they're the only team, or Boston was the only team, or the only two teams anyway. But in terms of what's been developing throughout this afternoon, there is someone on Twitter that claims to be related to Carlos Beltran. Now, Beltran claims he has no idea who she is.
Not related.
Not related. Why would we believe Carlos Beltran? Like, what part of his resume right now speaks to integrity and honesty?
Zero.
That said, I have no faith in Twitter, so why would I trust that some girl I've never seen or met before actually has legitimate intel?
She made the comment, Brian, let's get it all out now.
Right. And she tweets out that Altuve, Bregman,
man,
were
and
wearing...
And remember what I said about Bregman yesterday? It's almost like when he was up to bat, he knew what was coming. That is...
Apparently, according to this tweet, and now it's being, there are people starting to jump on saying, I've heard the same thing, including
buzzers?
Trevor Bauer, that yes, that they were wearing electronic devices taped onto their chest, and there was a message coming to them out of the dugout if, like a curveball
was,
basically, you get buzzed. If you're in the box and they know that a curveball is coming, you get buzzed. So Altuve and Bregman and the boys, like Altuve hit that walk-off against the Yankees this year, and now the video is circulating everywhere.
So the question I have is, are they only being accused from the year 2017 when Cora was there, or do you think they were still doing it after that? Because if you go back to the World Series last year, they lost 4 home games to the Nationals.
Right.
So you would think that, you know, or you would ask yourself, was that still going on last year? Because if they were cheating and getting those signs, how do you lose 4 home games?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean,
yeah,
even
not working very well.
But when you were cheating, they still lost. They didn't go 162-0. Like, you still lose some games. And even if you know what's coming, if the guy's throwing...
You still got to hit it.
Right. If Scherzer might tell you, I'm throwing a fastball, good luck. Try to hit it. right? You may know what's coming. But yeah, this is the most recent development. None of it is corroborated from baseball. You know these players are not going to say a word.
No.
But now you've got legitimate people in the game saying, I've heard the same thing, that these guys had an electronic device taped to their chest that was buzzing when a curveball was coming.
I mean, that
honestly, now we're getting to a point where it's legitimately you have to suspend the players if it's true.
Oh, like 100%.
If you find out, and you might be talking lifetime ban. Like, I really don't think that's that crazy. Like,
a lifetime ban?
Dude, these guys, like, it's one thing to say, I don't know, man, they just, I heard a garbage can, someone was smacking it, and then it was all Alex Cora and AJ Hinch.
Yeah, if you're wearing a device.
Right. Like, you're strapping in before you go out onto the field. You're like, let's get the device. Like, we got a game going here. I need to know what I'm about to hit. Like, that is, the players are driving that. The players are like, I am going to cheat right now. Not I'm forced into it. Not, you know, it's being pushed by the dugout. And what do you want me to do? I tried to get them to stop. They weren't drugged and then woke up in the batter's box with an electronic device strapped to their chest, if that's what was happening.
I don't agree with lifetime ban.
No?
A year?
I'm with O on this one. I think a year, like lifetime ban.
Okay,
that's lifetime ban. It's
a little
like
harsh.
Pete Rose is still.
Pete Rose got a lifetime ban for gambling that his team would win.
Hayes Casino.
At least he bet on the other, like on his own team.
Right.
I got to give him that. But
yeah,
lifetime ban I think is too aggressive.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not saying that.
Do you think any penalties will come to a player at all?
I don't know. I mean, the PA, the Baseball Players Association is so strong. They just went through this whole audit of the organization. They admitted in the statement that it was largely player-driven, and nothing's happened. Only managers get fired. Hinch is out. Cora's out in Boston. Beltran's out in New York. I haven't heard anything about what's going to happen with Altuve, Bregman, and Reddick, and Correa, any of the guys who have been there the whole time.
Well, the commissioner of the MLB came out after he laid down the penalties on the Houston Astros, and he basically told the Dodgers, keep your mouth shut. This is it. We don't want anybody commenting on this anymore. We've handed out the penalties. Let's move on. Now you got sewer ball going out on the MLB, and commissioner is just like, oh, man, what am I going to do now? Like, Altuve was the MVP of the year.
Right.
That pitch, though, that...
That he knocked out?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, now, if this has been happening, and it is a giant if, but the ball is rolling, and why would we trust anything that the Houston Astros are saying, are doing? Why would we trust them?
I agree.
There's no reason to trust them. If it was happening, it legitimately brings into question how good Altuve is, how good is Bregman? Like, how good are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been cheating the whole time? Have you been knowing what pitch is coming every single time you're at plate? You know,
no
up
kidding.
To the plate.
If you know what's coming, you're obviously a better hitter.
How good are you?
The only thing in hockey I can compare it to is like you do a shootout. You ask the backup goalie, like, what does this guy do? But that's not even close.
No, it's not. Like, there is no. That's why, like, if you cork, you're bad. Not allowed to do that. If you get caught, you get suspended.
Yeah, Sosa.
But you don't know what's coming. You still got to get the bat on the ball.
You still got to hit it.
You take steroids, you know, that's going to benefit you in terms of fighting through injury, in terms of energy, in terms of power, but you still got to find out what they're throwing.
Yeah.
If you know what they're throwing, that is such a massive advantage.
Let me ask.
And
you
did so illegally, not just through intuition or picking up steals naturally, organically.
What would you want to do if you're going up to bat? You can both answer. Would you rather have the roids or know what was coming?
Know what's coming every time.
Roids?
Roids. I mean,
that's a good question. That's a good poll question.
Yeah, like, what do you want? You want, like, I want the roids.
Because yeah, you know when you make contact, it's got a chance to go out.
That is very true. But you also, you got to subject yourself to the roids. You still got to find
the pitch. Okay, I don't
want
the roids. I would rather know.
Man, it's like, it's almost like they were like, okay, we can't do roids anymore.
So I want.
I don't
know.
Really want to do roids. So what else can I do?
Yeah.
Let's use this technology, and I'm gonna strap this thing on and just hit me with a little bit of a clue before the pitch comes in.
I almost want to see. If you look at Bregman and Altuve, not the biggest guys in the world.
No, and they're crushing balls.
Yeah.
And I almost want to see like that home run that he hit to clinch the World Series berth. I want to look at the replay up close and just see if you see a little jolt, him getting buzzed.
You can't look at it now because it's in your head. That
you're looking for it.
that he knows what's coming. So you're automatically going to think.
Was that a first pitch, too?
I don't remember. We should go back and look at that. But if he went down and got it, like Vladdy Sr., you're like, dude, you knew a curveball was coming, and he didn't
That's
even
exactly
hang it.
That's exactly what he did. He went down and got it, and it was gone.
Right.
And he looked at the pitcher like he was an idiot. And now
I knew
I have
you
questions.
Were throwing that ball.
At the very least, you. Like, I have no reason to believe anything out of Houston. Like, they clearly were cheating. And why would I believe they would stop at banging a garbage can?
Yeah.
Like, why would you believe it would stop there? And it's on baseball to figure it out. What you bring up is a good point, though, about how Manfred, the commissioner, by all accounts, kind of told the other teams, hey, let's shut up and let this blow over.
Yeah. He probably knows.
But that's the importance of Mike Fiers putting his name on it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big story today because Jessica Mendoza of ESPN was on ESPN radio this morning, and she was like, you know, I'm disappointed. I don't remember her exact words, but basically Fiers, he shouldn't have gone public with it because you were their teammates, and then you broke some code by outing it. But I think what's become clear, based on that messaging from Manfred in baseball, hey, everyone shut up.
Yeah.
If it was a true whistleblower where it was anonymous, I don't think they would have done anything.
You're absolutely right.
I think they would have buried it. They would have said, hey, thanks, Mike. Yeah, we'll take it from here. Oh, we didn't find anything, but
appreciate
the clue.
It's the same thing about this niece of Carlos Beltran. Nobody knows if she exists or not, if she's real.
But now the ball is rolling, and it's like, okay, what do we got here? We might have a smoking gun. So without Mike Fiers going public.
Is she a real person? Like, is she a...
Someone's
had to have contacted her.
That's your poll question. Who do you trust more? Someone with an anonymous Twitter account or the Houston Astros?
Right now, it's the anonymous Twitter person.
I think it is, too.
I'm with you guys. I think it is, too. How can't you with all the... it's believable.
Yes.
It's 100% believable.
It's 100% believable. And, yes, there is... there's... potential evidence here that with Altuve not wanting his jersey ripped off, with a picture of Reddick, it's Josh Reddick post game, and there appears to be like a cord that's taped to his chest. That picture is going viral.
Maybe it's a microphone, and
I don't know what it is.
They're saying it's confetti online, or who is saying that, Grappler?
Random trolls online, people online.
Well,
what's confetti?
People trying to get to the defense of
Josh
Reddick.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that picture is going viral. There it is up on TSN4.
My goodness.
Holy cow.
It is a wild, wild story that is developing here.
Wow.
And we could be talking about wave after wave after wave. Like, you
well,
think we've
honest.
Gotten to the bottom of it? No way.
Guys, I mean, I think the common thing that you're hearing is that cheating goes on in baseball. There's guys trying to steal signs all the time. It's just these guys have gone.
That's what I said yesterday.
These guys have gone to like the extreme.
Right.
Yeah.
That's allowed.
Ahead.
That's allowed. No one's suggesting that if you're on sec or if you're in the box and you're like, I just picked up on something, I know what's coming. There's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There is something substantially wrong with using video to transfer a message to the dugout that is then being sent into the batter's box so these guys know exactly what's coming. Like, it's two different extremes, and one is allowed and has been around for 150 years in baseball. The other one is generational because it's technology, and it's the new cameras and new technology that is available to these teams, and it's changed everything. And I wonder if that's going to have an effect on what they do in the future with instant replay, whether they let teams even have access to it anymore.
True.
Might change kind of the way they're working here.
I always wonder how the transaction goes down. Like, if I said to you, like, do you want to strap this buzzer or what?
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment in time where you got to be thinking, if I get caught for this,
I'm done.
Like you said, banned for life or
suspended or something.
And I understand you always want to get that competitive edge, but like, to risk being banned for life?
Breaking the rules?
Also, within the fraternity of the game.
Yeah.
Like, now there are pitchers who are coming out online, because the pitchers feel like they're the ones under attack.
They're getting
here.
Screwed.
And they're like, basically, you guys are black marks. Like, Houston, players aren't going to want to talk to them, aren't going to want to associate with them, and It's wild.
And there's a texter just texted in saying that Chapman throws 103, and Altuve sat on that slider. I'm the one that he hit out.
All day. All night. Just waiting for that thing to buzz.
All he does is throw 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, and all of a sudden he's waiting on a curve?
Right. Well, you bring up a good point, too, about that conversation, going to the players and being like, this is what we're thinking, this is what we have.
Doesn't one player say, guys, we can't do this?
But what I want to know is, did everyone get access to it? And what I mean by that is, was it only the big boys who it's like, we got to get you the technology? And did some plug, they're like, there's no point in even giving
like your 7, 8, and 9 hitters?
Plug wouldn't have been involved.
Yeah, you suck. A, you're not good enough. B,
you can't hit
we're
a
not
curve
wasting
anyway.
That. It, exactly.
Get hit by a pitch, get on base.
Just find a way to get back to Altuve so we can get the system going here.
Who's
get
the
Bregman
guy,
up.
Who is the guy in the movie, the Cleveland
Major
Indians,
League?
Major League, that had to take a pitch to get on base? Oh, Roger Dorn?
No, it was Dorn.
It was Dorn.
Dorn took it off the back.
He got the sign. Get hit by a pitch.
Right. 7, 8, 9. You don't have access to technology. Get hit by a pitch and let's get this thing cooking. Because that's you got to be thinking, if you were on that team, and we can look down the list, like whoever was the 25th man on the roster, he's like, I wasn't in on the know on any of this stuff.
Wait a minute. You were in on this? How come I didn't know about this?
Right. Why didn't I get access to that? I might have got paid. And that's another layer to
no
this.
No kidding.
That is
like
way
Altuve
further
in his contract that he got. Bregman in his contract that he got.
Phil tweeting in with a truly degenerate angle that I have great appreciation for. What about all the people that bet against Houston? Like, could you see class action suits through Vegas? Like, I bet on the Dodgers, and I want my money back.
Oof.
Because they cheated. Like, that is blatant.
Wasn't there a guy that bet, like, somebody bet on Houston this year to win the World Series.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
The mattress guy.
He doesn't get anything out of that because they lost.
Yeah. Well, and that was more about advertising. He was hedging all his bets and stuff. But that's a degenerate point, but it's a very valid point. If you had
think Vegas is actually going to say, you know what, you're right. Like, here's your money.
I don't know. I don't know.
Huh?
They're not even entertaining. They're just saying all bets are final.
You're probably
that's exactly right.
But would you put it past some guy to be like, I'm going to try? Like, let's say you had a big futures bet on the Dodgers in 2017. You put a fair amount of money and you got them at 8-1, 10-1, and they lose, and it turns out that these guys
were cheating.
We're getting, you know, electrocuted during the game, or devices were buzzing off and they're stealing signs illegally, man, you'd be furious in retrospect.
Well, you could say the same thing about the NBA when that Donahue referee was getting paid to fix games.
Yeah.
Like that final series between the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks, where Dallas went up 2-0 to start series and Miami came back and swept them. Imagine you had money on Dallas in that, and you knew that Donahue was refereeing that series, and he fixed it to go his way.
Right. But, yeah, you're right. You would be
same
fuming,
thing.
But at least that's one guy. This is the whole team.
But the referee has the most control of the outcome in the game.
He's got a ton of power.
Right?
Ton of power.
This is nuts, man.
Well, and Rob tweeting in, he's like, what about the guys who were on the team that didn't associate with it, but now they're kind of being dragged into it, like Verlander? And it's a good point because Verlander is so outspoken. He's one of the best interviews in pro sports. He's always got something to say. This year he went on a war path about these new baseballs and hating on the new baseballs.
Yeah, no kidding. Where's your...
This guy's going to show up day one and be like, what do you think about you winning a World Series when you shouldn't have been winning a World Series? What do you think about that, Justin? Huh. And what's he going to say? No comment?
I did my job.
I don't know, man.
But you're right.
Is there any guy in the Astros that's retiring after this year that is going to say, you know what, these guys were doing it? That's what has to happen.
Well, Mike Fiers is the guy that did it. Fiers was there, and then he moved on, and he's like, I'm telling you, this is what was going on in Houston. They were stealing signs.
And
that's
you know
what got the whole ball rolling here.
Steve Phillips, I think he was talking to you guys yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Phillips said the only reason why he came out and did that because the Houston Athletics were probably the team not doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Oakland, yeah, exactly.
Or the Oakland Athletics, sorry.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe that gave him more power to say, oh, man, I'm in a locker room where they're actually, like, playing fair baseball, and I was in Houston, and all these guys were doing is trying to find ways to cheat.
And we're in their division. We're fighting.
Yeah.
We're a good team.
That's greasy, though, when you leave.
you sewer them.
Well, but that's a big part of the conversation, right? Because Jessica Mendoza, again, went on ESPN and said that, and she is getting roasted.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, yeah, he did, tell state secrets, but he also got the ball rolling on the biggest cheating scandal maybe in the history of the game.
Oh, for sure, man.
And without him putting his name on it publicly, like I said earlier, if he does it anonymously, this goes nowhere. Baseball would have buried it.
Yeah.
But he went public with it, and they're like, now we have to treat it with respect and legitimacy. We'll continue to touch on this throughout the afternoon. And there's one individual who I think will benefit greatly from this. I'll tell you about that. We'll get into the Leaf game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Chris tweeting in, this is hilarious. If you think about it, the Houston Astros won a World Series with a Dr. Ho's massage therapy shock system attached to their chest. Remember Dr. Ho?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
You got a Dr. Hose for sure.
No, the worst commercials ever.
But his product, man, everyone knows Dr. Ho. Everybody knows. Everyone knows. I don't know anyone that's ever actually contacted.
I didn't think you were going there.
Yeah. But that might be their explanation. If they can get Dr. Ho on the take, admitting that he hooked them up and all it was massage therapy.
So yeah. Dr. Ho's got to say, I gave Altuve one of my devices.
Right. And it had nothing to do with cheating.
Nothing.
He just, you know, he had a muscle strain and I wanted to help him out in the World Series during the game. Dr. Ho's muscle shock system.
That's
massage
hilarious.
Therapy shock system. I love it.
I just saw the video of him when he hit that home run and running the home plate, and he's looking at the bench saying, don't rip off my shirt. Don't
that
rip
to
off
me
my
is
shirt.
The most damning evidence when he's like, guys, do not.
There it is.
Yeah.
And he's adamant. Like, don't.
Yeah.
He's not joking. Like, hey, guys, like, you know, don't. He's like, do not touch me.
Yeah.
And you noticed every player was like, yep. Because we've all been in rooms, man. When a guy does that, what do? You're like, I'm getting that thing off. You know what I'm saying? Like, if a guy's like, hey, don't do it, then you're doing it. Like, even more so.
Yeah,
you're
it's
doing
like,
it.
don't give me that nickname. You're getting that nickname.
Exactly.
Like, they knew, do not do that.
Do not touch it.
Amazing,
don't
man.
Take my shirt off.
I can't believe some of the stuff that's coming out in baseball. I really can't.
It's wild. Glenn tweeting in with a good point. Derek Fisher came to the Jays from the Astros. Bet he gets a lot of attention at spring training.
Oh, yeah.
And he will. He'll show up in a month, and
Ken
everyone
Giles
will be down
was there,
there
too.
Dude, I'm just watching that Altuve viz again. He's actually like pointing to his chest.
Yeah,
not just don't rip my jersey off, but he's pointing.
No, don't.
Right there, he's.
I
like,
got a buzzer on. Don't take my shirt off,
Doctor Ho. Doctor just yells, Doctor Ho. Joel Sherman tweeting out that he spoke with someone with MLB, a spokesman, I guess, and they issued this statement, quote, MLB explored wearable devices during the investigation but found no evidence to substantiate it, end quote. That investigation, MLB said, includes 2019. So, I mean, that may be true, but I don't really trust baseball either. Like, I don't trust Major League Baseball because it's in their best interest just to clear, like,
absolutely.
Let's move on. Pitchers and catchers report in less than a month. Houston, Boston, and the Mets don't have a manager.
That's true.
And this is where one guy in particular is going to step in the door and benefit greatly from maybe the biggest cheating scandal of all time. Do you know who that is?
I know where you're going with this.
John Gibbons.
John Gibbons.
Because he's the perfect hire if you're in Houston. Your PR is in the muck. You're a disaster. You're unlikable. Forget unlikable. You're hated.
Mm-hmm.
You're despised. Who is a guy who's so old school he's probably never looked at video in his life, probably never owned an iPhone, from Texas, universally beloved,
and you know
it's John Gibbons.
You know he'll walk in there and be like, "Yeah, I had nothing to do with that."
Oh, he'll just
that's all he'll say.
Diffuse it immediately.
Yeah.
Start laughing. Everyone will start chuckling. They'll be like, "All right, we're done. Gibby's in here." It's the perfect PR hire. It kind of bothers me because it's almost like if it gets to that point, they'd be using him as like a pawn. But at the same time, Gibbons wants to manage again. They're going to have to pay him. It's the perfect hire. If I own Houston, if I'm Jim Crane, the owner, and my team is in a absolute disaster of a situation,
that's your go-to move?
Exactly who you hire. You hire a guy who is anti-cutting edge.
Yeah, no kidding.
This guy is not cutting anything, and it's dull. Old school, no technology, good guy, beloved. He's the perfect PR hire. Perfect.
Well, he's...
And he can manage.
Yeah,
like, let's not
course,
pretend like he's some awful manager.
Yeah.
He can legitimately manage.
Yeah,
he's
got an interview
the perfect
there,
hire.
So he's First man up for the job. John Gibbons.
John
back
Gibbons
in the major leagues.
I think he walks right through that door down in Houston. Suck on that one, won't you?
You're suck on that one for tonight, will you?
That's what he should say.
100%.
I just got hired, so.
You're suck on that one for tonight, will you?
And everyone will be like, all right, you got us, Gibby. Good guy, John Gibbons. That
he will, honestly say, like, I don't know about technology or buzzers. That's what he'll say.
And you'll believe
Who the hell knows? You know, I don't know. You don't know.
You don't, like, what's not to believe about that?
That's his speech.
Yeah.
When do you think Altuve comes out and speaks? Does he speak?
Well, within the month, he's going to be at spring training.
I don't know. His agent.
Dude, you can't hide.
I know, but.
Now, I could see an interpreter stepping in. Like, I could see it being the old, I'm not answering questions in English.
Yeah.
And that might be wise. Like, don't get yourself caught. Don't say something you're not supposed to say. But he's got to speak. And Bregman's got to speak. And Reddick has to speak. And Correa has to speak. Verlander's going to have to speak. They all have to speak. Leafs in action tonight with Calgary in town. Where does Matthew Tkachuk rank for you in terms of must-see TV?
NHL, he's got to be top two or three guys in the league. Top five, doesn't he?
We had McDavid
must
here
see, yeah.
Like a week and a half ago. McDavid is clearly in a universe unto himself, yeah. I think. But I don't think Tkachuk is far off, man.
No,
like he's so
but he's also not a circus clown. Like, you don't want to see him play to say, what's this guy going to do now? He's a great player.
Yeah, he backs it up.
I'm like, not going to see him to you know, sauce a pass on a 2-on-1.
What do you want to see?
I want to see him act like he always acts.
A pest.
Yeah. That's what's interesting about him.
You know what? He's a guy who loves to go to the net front, loves to stir it up after the whistle, loves to stir it up on the bench, and he backs it up with his play. And that's why guys hate him.
Right.
You know, but good on him because he's one of the only guys left in the league that still plays that role.
Who on Toronto is going to be his Cassian? Nobody.
Nobody's going to do that. I know that. But does that mean he's just going to play like a choir boy tonight? He may feel even cockier out there.
I agree. I think tonight, in front of all the lights and the cameras, he's like relishing this moment because like people are talking about him.
He is the talk of the NHL right now. Matthew Tkachuk. And he is a great player. Like, he's legitimately very talented. He's a guy that can and will score 30, 35, 70 points. He's a very good, very good player. But he is must-see TV. I got to buy a ticket to go see him.
Yeah, it's because the unpredictability.
He's totally unpredictable. He may lay a hit. He may chirp from the bench. He may run your goalie. He could do anything. And there's a lot of entertainment value in that. And if you're a Leaf fan, you're going down there hoping for a win. But I think if you've got a ticket to the game, you're probably thinking, I wouldn't mind some sort of animosity tonight. That'd be such a rarity for this Maple Leaf team. They never get into the... He may drag someone into something that we've never seen before of this team. He might.
After the whistle, in front of the net, between the benches.
How many career fights has he been in? I don't think a lot.
I don't think many.
No,
like,
I don't
think
so.
Is it five fights?
Do you think he's going to answer the bell next game against Edmonton, though? I mean, in Edmonton, the game's in Edmonton, and it's Cassian's first game back from suspension.
I don't know. I didn't do the fighting game.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have to?
If he's going to continue to do that once in a while, he's going to have to. Right?
I would think so. But you've got an interesting scenario that's starting to brew here in the NHL with Matthew Perreault and the Jake Virtanen elbow, which was, I thought, a bad elbow.
Yeah, it was greasy.
I thought he should have been suspended for that. I don't know why he wasn't. I mean, I guess it still could happen. I don't know. But Matthew Perreault, if you're not familiar with this, he came out after the game. We just showed the clip up on TSN4, and he was very, very passionate about no penalty, no suspension. And here's what Perreault had to say about that Jake Virtanen elbow.
Like, I can't really protect myself there. If the league's not going to protect me, then I'm the smallest guy on the ice, so I can't really fight anybody. So the only thing I can do to defend myself is use my stick. So next guy that does that to me is going to get my f***ing stick. And I better not get suspended for it.
So that's...
I was the same way. I couldn't fight anybody either.
But that's the second guy now, because Cassian said the same thing. okay, I'm going to do that, and I better not get suspended for it.
Uh-huh.
And what the league is dealing with now is, for the longest time, it was, okay, the players will police themselves, and then it started to transition into, well, the league will police the game. But now there's players who are saying,
they're not policing.
Are you
the
policing
game.
It or
yeah,
not?
I'm going to take matters into my own hands.
Exactly. So what do you want? Like, are you policing it? Am I policing it? Like, they, I think, they've found themselves in a bit of a spicy situation here.
Well, because you go back to that Tkachuk-Cassian incident, the first hit that he made on Cassian, if the referees call a penalty on that play, then everything is, you know, is taken care of.
Right.
But because he doesn't, he takes another shot at him, doesn't call a penalty again, whether it's a questionable hit or not. I believe they were clean hits. The first one maybe could have deserved the penalty because there was a little bit of a charging aspect to it coming down from the point. But you're right. The referees have to start policing this, because if they don't, you got to think of it. Matthew Perreault, he makes a great point. I'm the smallest guy in the league. I'm not going to fight anybody, but I'm going to start protecting myself.
Right.
I know, but he just put himself on notice. Like, if he does one thing, he just guaranteed himself of getting 3 slashing penalties a game. Because every time he does anything, the ref's going to be like, I'm not letting you do that on my watch.
Well, which way does the NHL want it? Like, do they want to police it themselves, George Perreault's player safety, or do they really prefer that the players do it, but they can't say that publicly because of the era we live in? Like, for 100 years, it was the players.
Yeah.
100 years, it was, we're not suspending him, but if you got a problem with it, go ahead and do something to him.
But the thing is, I'm sure they wouldn't mind the odd fight, but they don't want Matthew Perreault breaking his stick over someone's back. That's the... Because he just said it himself. I'm not going to fight anybody, but I'll break my stick over your whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
The league does not want that.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, it's typical of where the game... And this is just the essence of the game. But we're focused more on Perreault and what he's going to do and what he's saying than Vertanen, who threw a greasy elbow. Right? Like, it's like Vertanen is just, forget it. We let you go. It's all good. We're going to focus on this guy who got smoked. And it's just like Cassian. Like, Cassian finally just said, I'm not dealing with this anymore. He gets suspended. If Perreault doesn't deal with it anymore, he's going to get suspended. And there's, I think, mass confusion over how you stop it, can you stop it, if it happens, what is the guy expected to do? And I'm not sure there's an answer for it, but I do sense that there's something brewing league-wide where there's some players who are like, I'm confused. Are you policing it or am I policing it? And if you're not going to police it, I'll take that as a message that I will police it. And if I do police it, you better not suspend me.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like, that's basically the messaging.
I think Cassian was trying to say the same thing, too.
Exactly. That's right? Cool. We're playing like
hey,
that.
Man,
cool,
you're not going to do anything about it. I'm going to defend myself.
All good. Yeah, that's fine.
Right?
Yeah, he can hit me.
But he dropped his gloves, and he did it like kind of an old school way. If this guy wants to, I don't know.
Assault with a stick?
Yeah, you can't go and break your stick over somebody's head. Like, you're... He just set himself up.
Well, you're right. You can't. And you can't in 2020. But we all grew up playing the same game. And that was, a high stick goes a long way in sending a message. Don't elbow me. Right? Like, and I know, again, people in 2020, a lot of people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But that was, we all got the same message from our dad growing up. If he does that again.
Protect yourself.
Cross-check him in the face, he'll never do it again. Like, it's greasy, it sounds barbaric and crazy.
Yeah.
But we all got the same message.
The old Chris Pronger move.
Yeah.
You're going to come at me, you're going to eat my stick.
Exactly. You know, right? But that was players policing players.
Yeah.
And now I think there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah, so, big time. Are you doing the game tonight?
The only difference is Chris Pronger, he did that in his play. Like, he would two-hand you, cross-check you, all in a series of one cycle in his own zone. He didn't, like, deliberately, I don't know, he didn't, like, smash his stick over your head.
Yeah. Be violent about it, chase you down, make
well,
it.
Well, he was violent, but he kind of did it in a covert way.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody that
in
was
in his
more
own
violent.
Space, is what you're trying to say.
Well, yeah, he right? used the gray area, like the old. Yeah. I don't know. Did he do that to protect himself, or did he do that because he's like, I'm going to get that guy? Because that guy wasn't actually going to do anything to him, you know?
He did it to get that guy.
More often than
you
not.
You asked Noodles. He had a front row seat for a lot of it. He saw some.
Right. And he got suspended a lot of times. He got suspended 9 or 10 times, I think, or 6 or 7 anyway. Carlo Koliakovo's in here. The O-Dog, Jeff Foney, I'm Brian Hayes. Leafs in action tonight at home against Calgary. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. We're continuing to track what's up with the Houston Astros, Dr. Ho. Dr. Ho's got to be implicated in this. We need Dr. Ho on the show, full-blown investigation, courtesy of Overdrive.
Can we even get that guy on? Grapples?
See what you can do. Maybe we got to order one of the devices. But
order 5 of them. Who cares?
We'll order it if he's willing to come on and talk about it.
It would be great for you to put it on Al's brother, and while you're watching the football game... You idiot! Zap him.
The second it goes, there it is. How great would that be? Just a field goal, Al's brother gets zapped.
You would just be hammering away at that button.
Last weekend, I would have just zolted Al's brother.
Yeah, he'd still be in the ICU. Yeah, that would have not gone over well for Al's brother. Anyway, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on Ottawa Saturday, February 1st. Every day this week, we'll provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player, and tomorrow you'll have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this former Leaf won 3 Olympic medals over his hockey career, 2 bronze and 1 silver. So, not Canadian, I would assume. But there's your clue. All right?
2 bronze and 1 silver.
Yeah.
Well, the Finns are...
Finns are always right around.
Bronze guys.
Yeah, there's been a couple. Like, I feel like the Czech Republic is right in there, too.
Or the Swedes.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's your clue. We might play some Name That Leaf trivia later in the afternoon. Between the two of you...
Me versus O?
When you were teammates. So... Featuring teammates of yours when you played on the Maple Leafs.
I guarantee you that he doesn't have a chance. Like, I know.
Guarantee?
Yeah.
Do you remember what year we played together?
Fire it up.
Together?
What do you got?
Well, you
got
to send it to me, Grapples.
Do you remember what year we played together?
Yeah, my last year.
2006?
Yeah.
I don't even think that's correct.
No, it is.
05-06.
Yeah. You played two years with the Leafs.
Yeah, I played 81 games. He played 4.
I'm pretty sure you retired in 07, didn't you?
It was 06-07 was the last year. Yes.
Sorry. Look at these two idiots. This is how ridiculously stupid this whole concept is going to be.
Bring on the Name That Leaf. Let's do it.
I didn't play, and you two are like, yeah, you retired in 06, right?
Hey,
yeah,
by the way.
I'm like, no, I think it was 07. Oh, yeah.
I'm here to defend you.
You're going to defend me.
Yesterday, I heard your conversation about you lighting it up at Barry training camp.
That's right. Rookie camp.
Mini camp.
Rookie camp.
And by the way, I talked to Bobby Mack and Dregs. They had never heard of you. Like,
Bob McKenzie watched me play.
Okay. He said, I only know of him because he played against my son.
Exactly.
Okay, but it's not like your name popped up on his
radar.
That
wasn't what we were saying. I said, I guarantee you Bob McKenzie has seen me play. And what did he say?
He said, yes, only because...
That's it. End of discussion. No more questions, Your Honor.
He played against my son. You were not on his radar.
I was that night.
He did light it up that training camp.
Thank you.
What?
Yeah, in Barrie.
You don't even know what you're talking about. This was
my brother played for the Barrie Colts the year after he left, and all the hype going in that year was...
Are you being serious?
I'm dead serious. Yes, that Hayes had an incredible training camp that year before her. I'm being serious,
you
man.
You know me. You
Your
played...
brother... Paulo actually said that to you.
That's yes. Right. My brother Paul played in Barrie, man.
He was a goalie of the year.
Goalie of the year in Barrie.
Call him. You gotta call this guy. I gotta hear this. By the way, his brother, you would not tell the difference between his voice and his brother. It's the same thing.
Well, they're identical twins. Try playing with them. I played on their team for 3 or 4 years, and I was a great practice player. Great mini camp guy.
What a great playmaker, man.
Yeah, when the game started, I mean, it was a little bit different.
Oh, so now I get it. You guys were minor hockey buddies, and you actually played with this guy in minor hockey.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You knew that. You've known that for years.
No, I actually didn't know that.
Stage was on that team, too.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and you can confirm this. Can you confirm or deny that Stage was the 10th best player on your minor hockey team? Because that's what he said.
It's confirmed.
Yeah.
Stage 1 year
got cut by every team in the GTHL.
Right.
Matt Stajan.
Matt Stajan was a late bloomer, man.
Stage and I, we played minor midget. Like,
tell you, man, the one thing that Stage always had,
and
was
I don't
a
want to
pit bull
you, but
work
you did say
yes.
10th best player.
I was being somewhat facetious, but it's not far off. He was our best player. Matt Foy, there were a bunch of guys who were really good players. Paulo was probably our best player, to be
the
honest with you.
In that,
yeah. And Stage was like, he and I were in the middle of the bench, just plugging along, chipping
it's
away.
True, man. Stage was a late bloomer.
Yeah, Stage was
far
bad? From
like,
a
he
lot.
Was a bench warmer? Like, he was
Stage
that
was a really small, really skinny kid, really young. And he needed time to. But I tell you, man, the kid had a work ethic.
I can't wait to call
him. He made
him.
It.
I can't
He'll
wait
admit
to
it.
Call him.
Dude, he
He'll
made
admit it.
It. He made it. We didn't get drafted as underagers. He was the only one. I think, no, you and Bacon, I think. There were a couple guys.
Yeah.
But Stage and I kept playing, and then he got drafted by Belleville, and then he got there and he started playing. He made the World Junior team.
Yeah.
We were on that.
Yeah.
And then his whole career just took off.
So you guys are playing minor hockey, and you wheel into a town. You're the best guy in the team?
No, I wasn't the best guy. His brother was the best
player.
He
was our top, one of our top three forwards. Hayes.
Oh, I was outstanding.
I thought he was a D-man.
Eventually, I converted. Eventually, I converted.
When me and you played together, you were a forward.
I was a forward. That's
you
right.
Probably converted back to D after
right
that.
Right at the end. When we went to Kamloops, I think I was like...
That's right, because we were short on defense.
Short
guys.
I don't get it.
And there should be a 30 for 30 on that team.
There should be.
30 for 30 on the Houston Astros. 30 for 30 on the Mississauga Senators.
We were a seventh seed.
Right.
And we went all the way to the finals.
An outstanding team. Well coached.
Yes. Kevin Rutledge.
Yep. There he is. Shout out to our
Shout
boy, Kev.
Yeah.
When you were playing with him, did you think that he was the guy or one of the guys that was going to make it?
No, dude. Like,
it was so tough because, like, even I didn't think I was going to make it. Like, we just played to play hockey.
Right.
But Hayes was, he was a playmaker, man.
Goal scorer, playmaker, agitator. Brought it all. Just a little bit of everything. You okay over there?
Maddie Stajan. They're lying. I was way better than them. That's what he just texted me.
Stage likes to stir the pot a little bit.
I'm telling you, man. We wouldn't lie.
When Stage played his 1,000th game, and Stage is one of my best friends, I just thought to myself, I am so proud of that guy.
I like how he prefaces it like that. He's one of my best friends, and then he's going to absolutely
No, no. I was like, he's one of those guys that I'm so proud of because I can't believe he played 1,000 games in the NHL.
Dude, for I know. I played with him, too. I was on his line in the NHL.
Yeah, for what his minor hockey career was to what he ended up being, it's like one of the most incredible stories.
Right. Well, even Giordano's even better. Like,
yeah.
Giordano is our age. He never played AAA, ever. I'd never heard of the guy before.
Yeah.
He's in the NHL, and it's like, yeah, he
winning
played
the
with
Norris
you,
Trophy.
He was in Europe, and then he...
Right. And it was, I remember someone asking, they're like, you remember playing with him? I'm like, not really.
No,
you're
right,
I don't remember playing against him. Like,
yeah.
And he's still in the NHL. We're winning Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
And he's going to hit 1,000 games if he hasn't hit it already, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he got there a little bit late, but he'll be there tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got 100 people at the game. Like, how many people is, if it's a one-off, like you played in the West, if you only come here once.
Oh, it's easy 50, 60 tickets.
There's a lot of people reaching out.
Yeah. I almost hated those games when I was coming home because, like, I just wanted to come play hockey. And it's like people are like, hey, man, can you get me tickets? Can you get me tickets?
Never
can
once.
You get me
I
tickets?
Never got one person a ticket, ever.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing about that Paul George article. We focused more on Drake and Kawhi. But I think the crux of the article was, like, he loves being in L.A. and he loves having all these people hanging on. Like, Doc Rivers is quoted, whenever they have some sort of social event, there's like 70 people that are affiliated with him. Uncles, aunts, cousins,
really?
Friends. And he's just setting them all up.
Yeah, he'll love that in year one. But in year two?
That's what I wonder.
Yeah.
And if they win and there's a parade, hey, think you can get me into that championship party?
Yeah.
No guy. We got to touch on celebrating and going a little bit too far with this Odell Beckham Jr. story. We'll tell you more about that in the next hour. He was at the national title game. He went to LSU.
He was, like, handing out
cash.
Handing out cash to players. But then there's a video of him spanking a police officer and then taunting the cop.
I couldn't believe that.
Now there's a warrant out for his arrest. Idiocy. So we'll touch on that more in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.